This is the Poetry Magazine podcast for the week of March 13th, 2017. I'm Don Scher, editor of Poetry Magazine.
I'm Christina Pugh, the consulting editor for the magazine.
And I'm Lindsay Garbutt, assistant editor for the magazine. On the Poetry Magazine podcast, we listen to a poem in the current issue.
We're listening to Kulthum, the revered Egyptian singer, songwriter, and actress who was active from the 1920s to the 1970s. Kulthum is mentioned in a poem in the March issue by Zeina Hashem Beck.
Zeina Hashem Beck grew up in Lebanon and now spends most of the year in Dubai. Although English is her third language after Arabic and French, it's the language of her poetry. Her latest book is called Louder Than Hearts.
Her poem in the March issue is called Makam. It's an Arabic word, and we asked her what it meant.
One meaning is like a system of melodic modes in Arabic music, so it is a musical term, maqam. And another meaning is the place where you live.
Zeina Hashem Beck told us that her poem plays with both meanings of the word.
Two major things in the poem are references to refugees and the idea of home, but also references to religion and the idea that religion is song.
There are a few more Arabic words she uses in the poem. The Fatiha is the opening section of the Quran.
Ayahs are lines of verse or scripture, like the lines of the Quran.
And makamat is the plural of makam, and shai means tea. Here's the poem.
Makam. If I die, you say you will let your hair turn silver, grow long. And you will go into the dark place, for you've already begun to forget what Mecca means. Where we come from, you and I, maqam means home, means music. The Quran can only be read as a song. A sheikh recites the Fatiha as if he has built a house among the lines, the ayahs. We've both called our daughters Aya. And when they ask about their name, we play holy verses for them. Listen to how the sheikh lingers long enough on each letter, how the audience claps and whistles. Is it Kulthum? Our daughters ask. He knows all his maqamat, this sheikh, says God is greater. And Allah, Allah, reply the faithful and the unfaithful alike. For the earth is such a small planet. And look, there is Ithaca, almost always on the horizon. Float, my friend. Ithaca, it is rough, but raises good men, says Homer, but oh, the women. The women know how to house the bodies of the drowned. They sing in the name of the cross of God the Merciful. A child in Syria has amputated legs because he has ventured into a minefield to eat grass. He still has two eyes, two arms, a mouth. God is greater. Is greater, stay with me in the light a little longer. You light two cigarettes at the same time, give me one. Tomorrow you will fly to Lesbos to translate. The refugees will say, shy, and you will say, tea, home, Mecca, Ithaca, maqam, maqam, maqam.
I love that turn to translation at the end of this poem. It's kind of a wonderful lineage of language, translation, culture, music, beginning with Mecca and ending, or almost ending, with Ithaca and Homer. This poem spans so much culturally and I think emotionally too.
It's wonderful, but also necessary for us here in North America to be reminded of the circulations of people throughout the world, which is a timeless, sort of never-ending migration. I think maybe there's a temptation to think that people are only moving around the world now, but it's always been with us. And the record of that is in the classics of both the West and the East, and all of the songs and prayers and recitations and beliefs really that we inherit record these movements, and that those things remind us that we've all been interrelated linguistically and in terms of culture and in terms of everyday relationships. When those relationships are made more complicated by violence and destruction, the languages and the prayers, they still somehow survive.
For the Earth is such a small planet. And look, there is Ithaca, almost always on the horizon.
So that idea that Ithaca is almost always on the horizon is really compelling, because an easy way to put it would be that Ithaca is on the horizon, but it's almost always there, because you have to work to recover and keep alive these kinds of traditions. They're sustaining. They can't prevent wars and violence, and they can't make people whole, but they can sing.
The women know how to house the bodies of the drowned. They sing in the name of the cross, of God the Merciful.
And that to me is just so incredibly lovely. And as you said, Christina, the idea of translation being an important aspect of this is also wonderful, not only in the fabric of the poem, but the fabric of the people who live everywhere on the planet.
The refugees will say, shy, and you will say, tea, home, Mecca, Ithaca, maqam, maqam, maqam.
I love the rhythmic beauty in that last line, and I think thinking about this idea of music, but also home and refugees and exile and trying to remember and keep these things alive, I was thinking about what lyric poetry means, which is that the original music has been lost, right? Mm. The idea that this is a poem about forgetting or beginning to forget or almost losing things seems so appropriate to this form as well. And I think it's such a beautiful, not really elegy, but it's about that sort of distance between feeling at home and being at home, about distance between generations, about distance in religion and all those kinds of things.
Well, and for instance,
we've both called our daughters Aya.
You know, Ayas being the lines of verse or scripture, like the lines of Quran. So there's both poetry and religion in there. And that your own name, I mean, we don't do this so terribly much in the Western world, but that your name, who you are, your identity would be, you know, from as long as you would be able to remember, connected with these traditions.
And when they ask about their name, we play holy verses for them. Listen.
The sheikhs are sort of professional reciters and chanters of these words, and you'd have to listen to understand the music in your own name, let alone, you know, the music that you're inheriting and with luck and survival you would pass along to generations to come. There's a kind of wholeness in a broken world that this poem and the what underwrites it, there's a wholeness advocated here. It makes you realize why it's so important to save things and, of course, to save people and their traditions.
You can read Maqam by Zeyna Hashembek in the March 2017 issue of Poetry Magazine or online at poetrymagazine.org.
You've been listening to the weekly version of the Poetry Magazine podcast. We'll have another episode for you next week, where you can get them all at once in the regular Poetry Magazine podcast, which is posted on SoundCloud.
Let us know what you thought of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org.
The Poetry Magazine podcast is recorded by Ed Herman and produced by Curtis Fox.
The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. I'm Lindsay Garbett.
I'm Christina Pugh.
And I'm Don Scher. Thanks for listening.